Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
When you're following Jesus, His Spirit will direct you. When you're following Jesus, He will give you each day the wisdom that you need. So be steadfast, be immovable, stand strong for Jesus.
Welcome to The Verdict, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor John Monroe. As followers of Christ, we want to pursue the will of God and live an authentic life of faith. But when it gets inconvenient or downright difficult, are you prepared to stand strong for Jesus? Today on The Verdict, we're thinking of five key principles to help us stand strong as we follow Jesus Christ. So, continuing our study in Matthew, here's Pastor John Monroe.
Do you ever feel a failure? Ever feel you've let down the Lord very badly? What were the circumstances? What was the outcome? In our study of Matthew, we're thinking of the failure of one of the outstanding leaders of the New Testament, a strong, courageous man. His name? Peter. Simon Peter, a spiritual giant, a rock. And yet he fell and denied the Lord three times with oaths and curses. Last time we learned that you too can fall into serious sin. And it's important to know your strengths as well as your weakness, as Satan often attacks us on a strength. So let's continue to think of certain principles in Scripture that will help us stand strong for Jesus. And listen to the end as we think of forgiveness.
Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to read from verse 69. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. Last week we saw our Lord Jesus Christ on his trial before the Sanhedrin. Peter is outside, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean?" But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." When he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Standing strong for Jesus, Peter failed, as we've just read. I have a number of principles, I think, five of them, very quickly, which will help all of us to stand strong for Jesus. Are you going to stand strong for Jesus wherever you are? First of all, understand you. I'm speaking to all of us. Understand you can fall into serious sin. Peter was the leader of the apostles. You can imagine Peter felt a little spiritually superior to the other disciples. Do you think so? Don't think that you can never fall into serious sin. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, he says, "Let him who thinks he stands take care lest he fall." Understand that you can fall into serious sin. Stand strong for Jesus. Number two, guard your strengths as well as your weaknesses. The reality is, you may fall spiritually in the area of your strength. An unguarded strength may be your greatest weakness. Abraham, an outstanding man of faith, doubts God and lies. David, the greatest of the kings, David, the man after God's own heart, loses his heart to a beautiful married woman. Peter, the courageous, bold leader, the one who steps out of the boat and walks on water, he's strong. Yet, as we read, he acts in a very cowardly way, doesn't he? A real wimp, wasn't he? Come on, Peter. Your Lord is on trial. And you three times deny the Lord. Guard your strengths as well as your weaknesses. Here's number three. Number one, understand you can fall into serious sin. Number two, guard your strengths as well as your weakness. Number three, very importantly, pursue truth and prayer. Peter heard the truth. He was warned by Jesus in verses 31 through 35. Jesus says to him, "This very night before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." He hears the truth from Jesus. He knows Jesus is a man of truth. He disregarded it. He must have dismissed it in a very cavalier way. "Oh, Lord, others will fail you, not me." See, disregard for truth and disregard for prayer leads to failure. Pursue truth and prayer. Number four, how important. Keep close to the Savior. Keep close to the Savior. Peter was not following Jesus closely. For 3 years, he had followed the Savior. What a privilege. He'd ate with him. He'd sat with him. He'd touched him. He'd been blessed by him. He'd seen him perform the miracles. He was close to the Savior. But Mark tells us he's now warming his hands at the fire of those who are opposing Jesus. Look back at verse 58, chapter 26, verse 58. The Lord Jesus is before the Sanhedrin. He's seized by them. Verse 58, and Peter was following him at a distance. That's the problem, Peter. You want to follow Jesus at a distance? You want to get away from him? You follow him at a distance, and then you get further away. And here's a crowd of unbelievers. They've got a nice fire, and you're just going to blend in with them. It's really easy, isn't it? What's your problem? You have not been close to the Savior. Furthermore, he's away from home. Peter is a Galilean. Did you notice what she says, the servant girl, in verse 69? "You also were with Jesus, the Galilean." Peter says, "No." Another one comes and says, verse 73, "Certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." He's from Galilee. He's now in a big city, Jerusalem. He's a fisherman. He talks like a fisherman. His accent betrays him. In a short time, my grandson Ian and I are going to be in Scotland. And the wonderful things happen when I'm in Scotland. Nobody says, "Now, where are you from?" I officiated a wedding here yesterday, and as I was leaving, a man came to me and says, "Now, where are you from?" I said, I'm from Charlotte." No, "Where are you really from?" And I've tried to speak Southern, and my wife tells me I sound really bad, y'all. And I try, and I just can't get it. My speech betrays me. Many of you are like me. You've learned English somewhere else, and you come here, and when we speak, I don't know how many times a week people ask me that, "Where are you really from?" Often they say Ireland, which is very disappointing. So here's Peter. He's about a bit out of his depth. He's lived his life by the Sea of Galilee. He's not a sophisticated person from Jerusalem, and he speaks a certain way, and they think, "No, you don't really fit in here." "Oh, yes, I do." He wants to be a chameleon. He wants to blend into the company of those around him. Is that a temptation for us? It is, isn't it? Students, you want to blend in. You don't want someone to think you're weird because you follow Jesus, do you? It's just quite easy not to say anything, just to blend in. What's his problem? He had dismissed the warning of Jesus. He had not prayed with Jesus in the garden, and he's not following Jesus closely. No wonder now he's denying the Lord, following at a distance. See, the path to failure imperceptibly begins when our personal walk and our communion with Jesus are neglected. You know that. We get into trouble when our priorities and our desires are not foremost for the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God. But we're not really seeking it first. I would say, yes, we are following Jesus. Yes, we are part of the kingdom of God, but we are following at a distance. You know that, who you're friends with. You have friends who are helping you grow spiritually, or you got friends that you're with, and now you're compromising your biblical convictions. Do your fellow students, are they going to know you're a follower of Jesus? You can just blend in. Parents, do people know that you're a follower of Jesus? Not just that you come to church, but they know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the central person of life. Too many of us are following Jesus at a distance. Oh yes, we read our Bible, but only occasionally. We attend church, but let's face it, only when there's nothing else to do. More exciting, trip to the beach, trip up to the mountains, some game, friends come, and other priorities. Yeah, you're following Jesus, but it's really out of convenience, isn't it? And your witness for Jesus is muted. And if you're not careful, your personal integrity is being compromised. Following Jesus at a distance. Yes, you may even be involved in serving Jesus. Wonderful to do that, but here's my question. Serving Jesus without a close relationship with Jesus means you're heading for a disaster. Wonderful to serve the Lord. Absolutely. All of us should be involved in serving the Lord, serving others. It's what it means to be a Christian, is to love others and serve others. But if that is not accompanied with a close relationship with Jesus Christ, you're heading for disaster. That's like the man who's married. He provides for his wife. He provides for his children. He takes care of them financially, but there is no close relationship with them. And his wife wonders, does he really love me? And his children are saying, where is Dad? Following Jesus at a distance. Can I also say, keep very close to the Savior when you go out of town. I say that to the students, as many of them are moving away to home. I say that to all of you. Some of you travel, you're out of town for your business and other reasons. See, Peter was, in a sense, alone. The other disciples weren't there. Jesus wasn't there. He's away from home. He's a Galilean, and he's in the big city, and he's very vulnerable. See, when you're out of town, when you're at college, when you're on vacation, when you're away on business, you are more vulnerable to temptation. Isn't that true? Away from home, you are more likely to fall into sin and to yield to temptation. To strike up an inappropriate friendship. To spend too much time at the bar, in your hotel room or college room to watch pornography, to compromise your standards. No one's there, no one sees you. Be warned, particularly when you're away from home. Innocent first choices can be disastrous. Students, you're away, you're gonna go into a new environment, college, meet new friends, professors. It's wonderful, it's very exciting. I've been through this, absolutely great. We wish you the best, but be very, very careful about your first choices. See, the wise person has safeguards when he or she is out of town. College students, you move away from home, make sure you get a good church home. Make sure you're part of a campus ministry. Make sure you have some strong Christian friends at the campus. I'm not saying you don't witness unbelievers. Of course you're going to. But you need people around you to hold you accountable, who know you, who you are, so that you're growing in the Lord. If you are not, you will not stand for Jesus. Can I say to those of you who are married, when you're away from home, make sure you call home every day. I'm going to call my wife every day when I'm in Scotland. Of course, I've got Ian checking up on me, so I've got to behave. You know what it is, men, women, away from home. Call your spouse, speak to your children. Above all, keep close to the Savior. Stand strong for Jesus. Final. You say, well, Peter was a bit of a rogue. He fell, but God forgives and restores. Isn't this wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that we've got a God who forgives and restores? You say, how does that come about? Confession of sin is essential. When the rooster crowed, what did Peter do? Verse 75, he remembered the saying of Jesus. Ooh. You remember the word of God. His world collapses. He has denied his Lord three times. What are you going to do when you fall spiritually? Admit your sin. Admit your wrongdoing. Stop pointing the finger at others. We know there are maybe mitigating circumstances. We know that other people may be partially to blame. We know all of that, but you admit your sin. Just say, I'm wrong. I sinned. I did not stand strong for Jesus. See, God wants a broken and a contrite spirit. Confess your sin. See, your sin has offended God. Yes, as you sin, it can have serious consequences on yourself. It can have disastrous consequences on those around you. But most of all, sin is against God. That's one thing. The prodigal, when he returned, as Jesus tells the story in Luke chapter 15, when the prodigal realized that he had sinned, he says, Father, I have sinned against, remember, heaven and in your sight. Yes, he'd sinned against his father, but most of all, he'd sinned against God. That's good. Here is a young man who truly is acknowledging his sin, who's not blaming his father, who's not blaming his elder brother, who's not blaming his mother, who doesn't appear in the story. No, I have sinned against heaven and also against my dad. See, repentance is not mere remorse. It's not merely being sorry. It's not merely regretting that you've been found out or overcome by self-pity or embarrassment. No, that is not true biblical repentance. Biblical repentance is brokenness and contrition before a holy God. It is hating the sin and turning from it. Luke says something beautiful. Luke 22, verse 61, about the story. It says that when the cock crowed, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. Don't know how close they were, but the Lord looked at Peter. Peter sees the Lord. He remembers what the Lord said, and he goes out and weeps bitterly. And we know in the gospel story that Peter, this man, is restored. He's recommissioned by Jesus, and he's going to be greatly used in the furtherance of the gospel. The devil wants to paralyze us because of past sin. Today, Jesus is looking at you. He sees your failure. He sees your sin. What's your response? Praise God, there is always forgiveness for those who repent of their sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. King David, who fell into serious sin, says in Psalm 23, verse 3, he restores my soul. Peter knew what he was talking about. Peter had gone through spiritual restoration, broken and a contrite heart before God, and he had experienced the mercy and the forgiveness of God. See, our great God loves to restore sinners. Through the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is grace for the sinner. There is grace for those who have strayed like Peter and have committed sin. Restoration is one of the specialities of our Heavenly Father. I have a heavenly Father who loves to restore. See, God never minimizes the sin. Of course not. He sends his Son into the world to be the sin bearer. The devil will tell you, you've blown it so badly, God will never use you again. The scripture says that God is a pardoning God. And God's grace and God's forgiveness are not given grudgingly, but they're given willingly and freely. God extends his grace to the weak, to the broken, to the hurting, to the contrite spirit, and pours his infinite, matchless grace on them so that Paul can say, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. There is always more forgiveness in our Savior than there is sin in you. That however much the sin, God's grace is greater. God's grace will never, ever run out. There's always more grace in the Lord Jesus than there is sin in you. How wonderful. That through the death and burial of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness, there is restoration, there is a recommissioning, but it is essential that we are truly repentant, that we turn from our sin and once again embrace our Savior who's there to welcome us, to embrace us, to restore that wonderful fellowship and communion we have with a God who is our friend and who calls us to walk with him in life. I say to all of us, stand strong for Jesus. Are you going to do that? Jesus stood strong for you. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He fully accomplished God's plan of salvation. And when you're doing God's will, you can stand strong without fear. The whole world might be against you, but when you're doing God's will, when you're in the center of God's will, you can stand strong for Jesus. And when you're following Jesus, he will direct your steps. When you're following Jesus, his Spirit will direct you. When you're following Jesus, he will give you each day the wisdom that you need. So be steadfast, be immovable, stand strong for Jesus.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. Today's message is titled, Stand Strong for Jesus. And John has more to share in just a moment. As a free gift to our listeners, we'd like to send you a helpful companion resource that gets to the heart of Christian living from the teaching of Jesus in Matthew. It's a booklet by John called Life in the Kingdom, and it deals with what it means to follow Christ as taught by Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus speaks to his followers about how to live their lives each day. And right now, you can request a free copy of Life in the Kingdom by visiting our website at theverdict.org. And if these lessons and resources have helped you, would you consider helping us reach other listeners by supporting The Verdict with a donation of any amount? By helping us cover the cost to produce and distribute these biblical messages, you'll ensure that we can continue sharing the gospel with new listeners across the globe. To send your one-time donation of any amount today, just go to theverdict.org. And then if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to The Verdict Podcast, available on your podcast app. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a comment and a positive review. Like this listener who wrote, "The way Pastor Monroe presents the Word of God is truly a blessing to Christians or those contemplating what it means to be an authentic follower of Christ." We so appreciate hearing from our listeners, and your positive reviews will help other listeners find the program and hear biblical teaching. Now, here's Pastor John Monroe to close out today's message.
Well, what's your verdict? Would you say that you're keeping close to the Savior? Are you vigilant? We're exhorted in Scripture to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Be very careful if there's any spiritual drift in your life. Have you fallen? Make sure you confess your sin. God is faithful. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive all of your sins. So keep standing strong for Jesus. Next time we see our Lord on trial in the shadow of the cross.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.